Yeah, Ezekiel 36, verse 16. 2 weeks ago, we finished up our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've been studying that for several months throughout the school year and looked at that verse by verse, section by section, and really just seeing what was the point of the greatest sermon that's been ever preached, the most popular one, the Sermon on the Mount, the words of Christ. Last week, we began kind of a new series for 3 weeks looking at the heart. So this is more of a theme topic. And so last week, if you were here, we looked at how David, when he was anointed as king, the prophet Samuel shows up to Jesse and David's father. And David had several brothers, and they bring all seven of them out. And though none of them was the one that God had chosen. God had told Samuel, don't look at the outward appearance as people do. Instead, I, God, look at the inward. I look at the heart. And God ultimately had anointed David to be king. And so we looked as for an illustration was peaches and cream oatmeal, which if you were here last week, you probably went out to the store and you bought your peaches and cream and probably ate it every day this last week for breakfast. We talked about how companies spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in packaging and advertising. They do studies on which color scheme will draw your eye to their product. They use words that are buzzwords like heart healthy. Ooh, that's good for my heart, so I'm going to eat that. And so we go through all this, and they spend a lot of time and energy and money and research to develop this box. And so we had Joshua last week. He read us the ingredients of this box. And the interesting thing about peaches and cream, there's no peaches in peaches and cream oatmeal. I don't know if you know that or not. If you're here last week, you do. If you weren't here, you might be scratching your head and say, why do they call it peaches and cream? Well, all oatmeal, whether it's name brand or the generic, their quote-unquote peaches are apples with peach flavoring. Sounds heart healthy to me, amen? We talked about how the outward appearance may look good, but on the inside, it may be nothing. And we talked about how our hearts can be hurting. Even though on the outside, we do our best to look good or just go through the motions and go through the routine. In fact, you probably have heard about the StarTran driver here in Lincoln who just kind of lost it one day and did some things. It's in the news. You probably know about it. But he even says, and those friends and family say, that's not him at all. That's not like him. So what would cause a person to just, lose it? Well, it's because there's a hurt. There's something going on in the heart. And though we do our best on the outside to appear like we have it all together, inside we're hurting. Inside there's maybe sin. Inside maybe there's a pain. Inside there's maybe a piece of our heart that we haven't allowed God to come in and to look at that. And God looks at our heart. Amen? He doesn't look at our appearance. He doesn't look at your social status. He doesn't even look at your bank account. He looks at your heart. And if we are going to be vulnerable to God and allow him to come and search our hearts, then he begins to change us from the inside out. And sometimes in that process, our outside might look a little messed up. If you've seen people, I've been there. I know when God's working on your heart, you just, sometimes you get, just crying and you get you can't talk, and just outwardly, you're just kind of a mess. Why is that? Because God's doing a great work in your heart. And so I want to keep this theme of the heart today and then next week. And then we've got a couple special weeks for May that's going to be happening. And so let's just pray and just invite the Holy Spirit. Let's prepare our hearts to receive from him this morning. And so we can be changed from the inside. Father, this morning we say thank you for your word that is alive. Lord, we say thank you for the opportunity we have to gather in your name and to look to you. And so we do invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and to teach and to guide us. Give us understanding. Give us revelation. Lord, help me, everybody here this morning. Show us how to apply it to our life so we can leave here being doers of the word and not hearers only. And we ask these things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Ezekiel chapter 36, we're picking up with verse 16. Lord came to me. This is the prophet Ezekiel. Israel's getting freed from Babylon captivity. And here's what God says. Son of man, when the people of Israel were living in their own land, they defiled it by their conduct, uncleanness in my sight. So I poured out my wrath on them because they had shed blood in the land and because they had defiled it with their idols. I dispensed them among the nations, and they were scattered throughout the countries. I judged them according to their conduct, and among the nations they profaned my holy name. For it was said of them, these are the Lord's people, and yet they had to leave his land. I had concern for my holy name, which the people of Israel profaned among the nations where they had gone. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I am going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you have gone. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord. When I am proved holy through you because before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all of your impurities and from all of your idols. Verse 26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. That's a good word, isn't it? We see God's grace. We see God's mercy. We see his purpose. What was the reason for his grace? Restoring Israel. It wasn't for them. He said, for my sake, right? You are my people. You have profaned my name. You are being disciplined because of what you have done. And because of my holy name, I will prove myself to be the king. I will prove it to the world through you. And then he gives to them this promise that they do not deserve. He says, I will cleanse you, verse 25, from all impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Many times in the Bible, the word flesh, especially in the New Testament, refers to our sin nature. We're to live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. But the flesh here isn't God's going to equip us to live by our sinful nature. No, he's saying a heart of stone. It means a cold heart, a dead heart. Your heart is dead. Your heart is unreceptive to me. It has grown cold. It is rebellious. God says, I will remove that heart. I will give to you a new heart that will be a soft heart, one that's pliable, one that's alive, one that has a purpose and a plan, one that will be equipped to follow after me so that my name, God's name, is glorified throughout the world. So the world can see who God is. If you remember on the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, you are the light of the world, right? He said, do your works before men. Why? So they will see those good works and glorify you. Is that what it said? No. Glorify are your Father in heaven. And God's plan has been doing this from the beginning. He chooses a group of people. He pours out his goodness on them as they walk in obedience to him and in fellowship and in relationship with him, not in perfection, but a heart that pursues him. And then he pours out his goodness and the world says, wow, there's something different about that person. There's something, what's going on? Well, it's not our abilities, amen? It's not my ability. It's God in me. It's God in you. And God's promise to Israel was to give to them a new heart. So as we talk about the heart this morning, you think about last week, we talk about last week about how our hearts are hurting. But we try our best to look good on the outside, just go through the through the routine. And I encouraged and challenged all of us last week to spend this past week asking God, and from Psalm 51, God, search my heart. Search my heart. Do I have unforgiveness in my heart? God, do I have bitterness in my heart? Do I have anger in my heart? Is there a hurt in my heart? Whatever's in there, God, come and search my heart so it can be dealt with and resolved. And God, in his grace and his mercy, pours out himself into us to the place of restoration. I want you to see this morning, as we look at the heart, that God's solution is not to clean your heart. We ask Jesus to wash away our sins, right? Forgive us of our sins, to wash us clean. And that's maybe a nice mental picture, but that's not what takes place. God's goal and desire is not to wash your heart. His goal and desire is to destroy your heart so that he can give you a new heart. This is a very hard thing to communicate. It's a very hard thing to understand. That God wants to destroy my heart? Yes, he does. I have been crucified with Christ. Amen? My sin nature has been crucified with Christ on the cross. God does not want my heart. He wants to give me his heart. He wants to give me a new heart. So, bear with me. Maybe this will help. Let's pretend that this shirt is your heart. And maybe your heart looks like this. It's kind of wrinkled. It's got, you know, stains all over it. This is our heart before Christ. This is our heart before we gave our life to Jesus Christ. And it looked a lot worse than this. And it probably smelled. It was not good. This is where the Old Testament says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's what this is talking about. You will never be good enough to have your heart be cleansed. So here's what we typically do, and in our American culture, we're really good at this, and as Christians, is we do our best to grab our dirty jobs, heavy-duty laundry, spot and stain remover, and we try our best. Oh, I have this sin in my life. I got to take care of this. And we scrub and scrub, and we do our best to try to get that off, and usually it just causes more pain and more problems and bigger stains. I don't think I need this anymore. So we can't even get our shirts off to do this. But this is what we do. And the reason why we do this is because nobody wants to walk around with a dirty heart. We just don't. So I got this hurt in my heart. I had this thing that happened to me, and I got bitterness, and so I just got to clean that up. I just got to do this, and the solution, the stain remover that we use is maybe the latest and greatest Christian fad, the number one top 10 selling Christian book, somebody else's opinion. You deserve to be happy. You just need to take care of that. Yes, Rob, I deserve to be happy. And so we use happiness stain remover, which doesn't really work. And we do all these things, and it doesn't work. We must understand this morning that God's goal is not to clean your heart. He does not want this heart. He does not want it. It is not of him. He told Israel, I will give to you a new heart. Amen? And that is what God wants to do for each and every one of us this morning. And John chapter 1, turn there if you would, please. The Gospel of John chapter 1. We're looking at several verses this morning, as we always do. We looked at some of these verses a couple weeks ago, actually, but it's fitting for us today as we understand this morning what God wants to do with your heart. Let me remind you too, as I said last week, this is a series, so do not make any judgments about this series until the end of next week. Because today you might be saying, well, what about this? What about this? Just wait, hang on, we'll get there. We first must understand, last week, it's not about what's on the outside that matters, it's what's on the inside. What's going on in your heart? That's number one. Number two, whatever's going on in your heart, understand that God doesn't want to just clean that heart up. He wants to do something so much greater than that. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. It's a reference to Christ, and the Word was God. Amen? The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Talking about John the Baptist, verse 9. That was the true light, Jesus Christ, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Listen closely, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This morning, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have surrendered your life to God, you've asked him to come in and to forgive you of your sins, and you've surrendered your life to him, the Bible says that you are a son or a daughter of God. Amen? And you know what your heart looks like as a son or daughter of God? It doesn't look like this. Because the heart that you had has been dealt with. You are a son or a daughter of God. Say that this morning. Turn to your neighbor and tell them. Turn to John chapter 3. I want us to understand this morning. You're going to leave here today so encouraged. And hopefully with this, understanding where you're really at. So many Christians are trying to struggle to clean their heart, and God doesn't want to clean your heart. We spend so much time trying to bring back our old way of thinking and try to polish it up, and that's not what God wants, nor that's not what he has done. In John chapter 3, a great chapter, or a famous chapter, Nicodemus is talking to Jesus, and start with verse 1. He says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night. Do you notice what time he came to him? At night. And said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, listen closely, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are, what? Born again. Nicodemus was puzzled, as we all would be, and says, well, how can someone be born when they are old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, verily, truly, I say to you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh, listen, gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The flesh gives birth to the flesh. The Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. What Jesus is talking about here, about being born again, is about being born again in your spirit. Amen? Your spirit is reborn. The moment you ask Christ in your life, your spirit is reborn. The spirit you once had, the heart you once had, has been dealt with. It's been condemned. It has been crucified with Christ. It is dead. And now he gives to you a new spirit. Not an old spirit with great stain remover on it. He gives to you a new spirit. You're born again. If you're a child of God this morning, you are born again. Your heart is not full of junk and evil and sin nature. That is not what you have inside of you. You have a new spirit. You have God's spirit inside of you. Say, I have God's spirit inside of me. We got to understand this. You see, we take on the image of whom we are born from. Some of you are happy about that. Some of you are not so happy about that. My father's here today, and we both look good, don't we? I mean, we are handsome men. Amen? Brandon better say amen because he's following in the same line. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 3, listen closely. Genesis 5, 3 says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he had a son in his own likeness, in his own image, and he named him Seth. You take on the image of whom you're born from. Some of your physical attributes are from your parents and your parents' parents and some of those things. You take on the image of whom you are born from. So when I tell you this morning that you're born again with the new spirit from God, then whose image do you now possess? God's image. God, your heavenly Father, you take his image upon yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 through 49. 1 Corinthians 15, 45 says this, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a reference to Christ, a life-giving spirit. Let's look at that again. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spirit did not come first, but the natural. And after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have been born the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. Amen? Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news this morning to know that when we come to the place of realizing that our outside appearance looks good, but the inside is hurting, the inside has pain, that we go to God and we confess our sins and we repent of our ways, and he comes not with stain remover. Oh, there's a spot on Jason. I better go take care of that. No, he doesn't do that. He says, I'm going to take your heart. I'm going to take your evil thoughts. I'm going to take your evil fleshly desires, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. I'm going to take all of that evil nature that you were born with, taking on the image of Adam, and I'm going to remove that, condemn it, crucify it, destroy it, and in place of that, I'm going to give you a new heart. My spirit, and now you are born again, and you will take on my image. You will take on my image. So God doesn't want our nasty hearts, our dirty, sin-ridden hearts. He doesn't want that. He takes that and he destroys it. And what he does do is he gives to us a new heart. He gives you a new heart. No stains, looks good, fits perfect. That's what he does. And so many Christians spend their life, their Christian walk, trying to clean up what God has already destroyed. That's right. Instead of living in that new life that God has given to them. Why did God do it for Israel? For his glory, remember? I will give you a new heart for his glory. Not so we can walk around and say, hey, look at me, I'm looking good. No, it's for his glory. And when God takes our hearts that are full of all the evil and deserving of condemnation, and he destroys it and gives to us out of his grace and mercy, his heart, his spirit, we now take on his image. Why does he do that? For his glory. God takes pleasure in giving you a new heart. God rejoices when he's able to pour out onto those people that will repent himself. He glories in that. He rejoices in that because there's more and more of his creation that are receiving his very image, receiving his forgiveness. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. Go there if you would. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1. 1 John 5:1. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Let's read that again. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God to keep. This is love for God to keep his commands, and his commands are not burdensome. Can you say amen? For everyone, listen closely, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You take on the image of God. You take on the image from whom you are born. And as a born-again person in your spirit, you take on the image of God. What is the image of God? One of the images of God is he's an overcomer. Amen? And because you are now a child of God, you are an overcomer. Jesus said, take heart. I've overcome the world. Right? Jesus overcame the world. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We take on the very image of God, which means you this morning as a believer in Jesus Christ, you are an overcomer. Can you say amen? As a child of God, you are victorious. Romans tells us that we are more than conquerors, what? To those that are in Christ Jesus. How are we in Christ? We're born again. We take on his spirit. His spirit comes and dwells within us. We are born again. We take on his image. Greater is he that is what? In you than he that is where? In the world. The image of God is now living inside of you. You take on that image. You take on that strength. As a child of God, you have been born in his image. Now let's carry that image. Let's carry out that image. Let's live that image. He's given to you a new heart for his glory's sake. He enjoys doing it. He loves doing it. He paid the ultimate price in order to be able to do it through the death of his son. I say, let's live in the new image. Amen? I say, let's live in the new heart. And that's next week's sermon, so I don't want to get ahead of myself. But today I want us to understand that God does not want us to be walking around with stain remover, trying to clean up a heart that God has already removed, crucified, and has destroyed. And in place of that heart, he has given to you a heart of flesh. He's given to you a heart that takes his image. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. You're not born of the flesh as a believer in Christ. You're born of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. And you take on his image. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. 1 Peter 1, 23 says this. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. You say amen? So you don't have a perishable seed in you. You don't have a seed inside of you that's dying and decaying. No, you have a life-giving spirit inside of you. You have an imperishable spirit that God has given to you. That is the image of God that is in there. As a child of God, you are led by the Spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Romans 8, 14, listen closely. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Did you catch that? For those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves. Do you understand this? The Spirit you received, when did you receive it? When you were born again, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are the children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Do you know that the unrepentant sinner whose heart looks a lot worse than that shirt I had up here, that person is unable to follow after the Spirit's leading. They're unable to do that. Their mind is an enemy to the Lord. The Bible says that they cannot please God. But the person who is born again, they have been given a new heart, not because they earned it, not because they were good enough, or they gave enough money in the offering, or they had the nice jet ski, or they took a vow of poverty, or any of these. No, those things don't change the heart. They might change your packaging, might look impressive to the neighbors, but it doesn't change the heart. And when God looks at our heart, before we become Christians, before we get adopted into his family, he's not surprised by anything. He's seen it all. And he says, Jason, your heart's nasty. Your heart is wicked. Your heart is evil. It must be condemned. Whenever we repent before God, we ask him to come into our life. We say, God, we take my heart. I know it's wicked. I know it's evil. He says, I will gladly take your heart. By the mercy and the power of God, he takes our heart and he destroys it. He gives to us a new heart. And now we're living in the image of God. We're walking with him. Next week, we're going to talk about there is still that battle. I mean, our hearts can get a little dirty from stuff. And we're going to talk about that next week. Today, I want you to understand that God gives you a new heart. He gives you a new spirit. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that's available to you this morning? It's available to all of us. To those who believe. To those who believe. To those who believe. Close your eyes this morning, if you would, please. Last week, we ended the service by just asking God to come and search our hearts. It's easy sometimes to just get caught up in trying to look good on the outside, but the inside, having these pains in these hearts. And I honestly think that most of the reason why we spend time trying to look good on the outside is just because we don't know what else to do. I don't think it's because we're out doing a bunch of evil sin and stuff, and I'm sure there's probably a part of that, but I think it's just, we just don't know what else to do. My heart's hurting. I don't know what else to do. I don't know where to go. So last week we were like, God, come, and we're vulnerable before you, and search our hearts. Search our hearts. Well, this morning I want to make sure that everybody in this room has the opportunity to receive from God this morning a new heart, to receive a new spirit. Your heart may be heavy, your heart may be broken, your heart may be wounded, your heart may be full of sin and pride and arrogance. Friend, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, if you've never put your faith and your trust in him and the work that he did on the cross, paying the price for the evil that was in you and receiving from him forgiveness of sins. Friend, this morning that is available to you. New life, a new heart. The Bible says that new heart is free from guilt and shame. It's free from condemnation. Praise God. And he wants to give it to you today. He wants to give it to you today for his glory's sake, for his name's sake. He wants to give you this new heart and this new life. In just a minute when we close, I'm going to invite you to come up to the front and just find a place to pray if that's you. If you've never accepted Christ in your life, and you say, man, I want that new spirit. I want that new heart. To the Christian this morning, to the child of God, Are you spending your time with stain remover trying to clean up what God's already destroyed in your life? Or are you living in the image that God has created you to be? Christian, let's don't waste our time trying to clean up what God destroyed. But instead, let's start identifying and learning this new heart and this new spirit that God has given to us. Let's begin to live those things. You're an overcomer this morning. Not in your own strength, but because of the new heart that God has given to you. You take on the image of your Heavenly Father. The Bible says about you this morning, you are holy and you are blameless. And so many times we just try to run back and clean up what we know. God's like, no, you're wasting time. I've dealt with that. You have a new heart. You have a new spirit. So I encourage you this morning, child of God, put down your stain remover. Put down your works and your efforts and trying to make yourself look good and trying to deal with things. If you have a hurt in your heart, just take it back to the Lord. Say, God, my heart's hurting today. I need you. You've given to me a new heart, but this heart's hurting. I need you today. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. Let's stand this morning with your eyes closed. Father God, this morning, we say thank you for our time together. Lord, we say thank you for the new heart that you've made available to us. Lord, there's freedom in Christ Jesus. There's freedom in Christ because there's life. Because the life-giving man, Jesus Christ, came and offers to us life, a new heart. A new heart, Lord. So Lord, I just do pray for anybody here today that today they would say, I need that new heart. I need that new heart. Lord, that they would respond to your Spirit's leading by receiving that heart today. Lord, to your sons and your daughters this morning, Lord, I pray that we wouldn't waste our time trying to go clean up what you've already destroyed and dealt with, Lord, but instead we would live this image that you've given to us, your image, an image of victory. Taking on your nature, Lord. We have your DNA within us, Lord, that we would live by the Spirit. Lord, we would live by the Spirit, live in your kingdom, according to those kingdom principles, according to your kingdom laws, Lord, that has freed us from the things here on earth, Lord, from sin and death, Lord. We just say thank you for that image that you have given to us. Lord, I just pray your blessing over your people today, Lord. We say thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you for this new heart that you've given to us, this new spirit that you've put within us. Lord, we didn't deserve it, but God, we receive it with joy. We receive it with gratitude. And Lord, we want to live in that. For it's what you've offered to us. Lord, go with us as we leave here today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer for anything, we'd love to pray with you. Come up to the front. Otherwise, God bless you as you go. Have a great week.